welcome to the Labrador podcast from Tales of Success Labrador Training. Hello, I'm Vicky Sharp. I'm a trainer here at Tales of Success Labrador Training and also your host for the Labrador podcast. Thanks for joining me on another episode. In this one, we're talking to the owner of a 16-month-old adolescent male Labrador called Freddie. I've no doubt that during this episode, we're going to be talking about hormones, neutering, and lots of the adolescent challenges that have been faced along the way. And I hope you find this one really useful. Becky, thanks for joining me to talk about Freddie today. Give our listeners a little brief introduction to the main man.
Yeah, so as you've said, Freddie is a 16-month-old Fox Red Labrador. He is a very cheeky chap, but he's so lovable. And he's got a cheeky personality that just shines on through. He's becoming a lovely dog.
Oh, that's nice. Just before we kind of started recording this, you were telling me about how he's maturing, and I'm sure we're going to come to that during the podcast. But yeah, you kind of said he's a lovable chap. Is he working line or show line?
Yes, so he is a working line Labrador.
Do you do any work with him, or is he like living the life of Riley kind of on your sofa as a wonderful family pet?
Yes, he is living the life of luxury currently, owning the house. He's boss. He is just at home as a pet at the moment.
What's his favourite stuff to be doing?
Very much outdoors. He loves the woods. He loves the beach. Anything that involves digging, foraging, sniffing, running. Just anywhere that you can be let loose.
Generally causing chaos in the great outdoors.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm guessing at 16 months old, you kind of find that he's got endless amounts of energy. Is that a fair kind of evaluation of him?
Yes. Very energetic. Keeps me on my toes every day. Just bounds of energy. Just keeps going until I have to tell him to stop.
The great news is, I mean, that with age, that gets better. So by the time he's like 9 years old, you'll be able to put your feet up and have a little rest. Tell us a little bit about your history with dogs. So right from when you were a kid, you know, have you always had dogs in your life?
So they've always been part of my family. Family members have had dogs. But growing up, I were grown up in a cat household. So we had lots of cats, even rabbits, actually, anything but a dog. And it wasn't until 2020 where I became a dog owner.
And tell us about that, because I think that was with a different dog. Is that right?
It was. So I adopted a dog called Noel during the pandemic. He was a four-year-old Labrador that was in the family of my ex-boyfriend at the time, and we took over the care of him during the start of the pandemic. So he became my little buddy as I was working from home in all the lockdowns. I just fell in love with Labradors and how they are, how loving they are, the companionship, the fun. Unfortunately, I did lose access to Noel during the breakup, but it just made me even more like know for sure that I wanted a Labrador in my life.
Well, I think that's got to be a really awful time for you, kind of losing that contact with a dog that you clearly loved a lot. But Freddie came into life, so I think it probably pointed you in the right direction. Actually, dog ownership was way better than cat ownership, so I'm glad you found that out. So when you got Freddie, was he 8-week-old puppy, or again, did you decide to go for a rescue dog?
So he was an 8-week-old puppy. I first met him when he was 4 weeks old and tiny, could fit in your hand. Decided to go for a puppy purely for the idea of wanting to mould and train this dog into how I wanted my dog to be
And with Noel, he was obviously 4 years old when you got him. Do you know what the history was there? How did he come to be available at 4 years old?
So he was a family member's dog of my ex-boyfriend. So I know they'd cared and looked after him a lot and done all the relevant training, which did like shine through. He was an absolute like angel of a dog. He was so well behaved. Was just obsessed with tennis balls. That was like his favorite thing in the whole world. He was very well behaved and very gentle.
Were you then a little bit surprised when you got this 8-week-old puppy and you kind of probably saw that Freddie behaved a little bit differently from this well-behaved 4-year-old Noel?
Absolutely. It was a massive shock to the system. I think I was probably a little bit naive, thinking that a puppy would behave anything like a 4-year-old dog. It was part of the fun challenge, I'd say, working it out as I went along.
And you know what? Labrador owned dog ownership in general is very much a journey. And you've just got to kind of take it one day at a time and ride that roller coaster because it really can be at times. But what do you think you did differently with Freddie than you maybe did compared to Noel or any other dogs you've had experience with?
I think I was very much more cautious from the off. I was very much thinking how I could, well, how responsible I was. Like everything was on me, essentially. I was very much like, right, he's a baby, and I'm responsible for this little cute puppy that's looking up at me for reassurance and guidance. And I just wanted the best for him and wanted to make sure that he knew what to do and when, and he was healthy. I had a like focus from the off to get his like diet and sleep routine right, and his training right away. As soon as he came home, he was like learning to sit, so at least I had that trick up my sleeve.
So giving him like a good start with all of that stuff from day one, really. Now, you've obviously been suckered into Labrador ownership now. That's it forever. You're going to just keep getting Labradors. So what is the best bit about having a Labrador share your life?
I just think they're so lovable. They provide like bounds of energy, but bounds of love as well. They are just so excited to see you like all the time, no matter if it's been 5 minutes or 4 hours. It's still that level of excitement every time. Just the idea of having like a best friend in dog form. And I think that is just a Labrador, just your best friend.
Absolutely. You can have more than one best friend. So, are there any plans in the future for Freddie number two, do you reckon?
I think if I was brave enough, because obviously being on my own with a dog, I think that has its challenges. But I do think now he's like calming down, I'm like, oh, he'd love a buddy. Like I think he'd really like strive and just love having a little mate around. But also I think it's a bit too soon to start all over again. I'm still very much like, yeah, maybe too soon, but never say never.
I think treat yourself to a breather because you've been through a
Yes.
lot in the last 16 months with him. So we've got to kind of get over that. But you mentioned just a moment ago that you started training with Freddie pretty much from day one and you were keen to put him on the right path. So tell us a little bit about what that training schedule looks like now, but also what it looked like from day one. What sort of stuff have you done with him?
Yeah, so I'd say from the beginning, I did try to kind of build the foundations, but I think along the way I was probably being pulled to different places and different avenues of like the best way to do things. So I very much was trying to like teach him the basics, like sit, wait, how to be happy on a lead, and those kind of things, and then build up from there. I think once he was allowed out the house after his jabs, I think that's when it became more of a focus that, right, okay, let's get you like socializing, and really like working on his social skills.
Was it as easy as you thought, that very initial training? So think about sort of 8 to 16 weeks when you first brought him home, kind of training things, even basic things like sit and that kind of stuff. Did it all just flow quite nicely from that young age?
I think he definitely listened, but it was probably because there was treats. He was very food driven from the off. Typical Labrador, just absolutely loves food, which was really good. So I could use that to my advantage. I think it was more of a case of sleep wasn't necessarily being nailed. That took a long time. And then obviously I nailed it. And then we had a little bit of a relapse when he got older.
We'll have a chat about that in just a moment, because I know you spent a lot of time sleeping on the floor, bless you. So we'll kind of discuss that and you know why, because there's, you know, lots of interesting chat to be had about that, definitely. On the training part, what would you say your kind of top skills to train Freddie were or still are? What are your kind of things that you want to keep working on?
Yeah, so I'd say my main ones are heel work, loose lead, recall, settle and place training, the emergency stop, and weight are definitely like my main focus with Freddie. And I'd say that recall is our top priority at the moment, purely because I just want Freddie to have the freedom to be able to roam and me to have the confidence that he is going to come back. Because at the moment we are still using a long line, purely because if he sees anything he likes the look of, whether it be an animal moving very quickly or a dog or a certain object, he will not like come back. So yeah, we're definitely working on that just so we can have stress-free walks.
So in those months that you've had him and you've been doing this training and you've been focusing on all of those good things, what kind of challenges have presented themselves? Because I know, you know, hormones kicked in at one point and we were kind of struggling with getting focus from him. So would you say that impacted upon the training that you did with him? Did you have to put a little temporary pause on stuff or change the way you did things?
Yeah, so I'd say training had to pause, because yeah, he just switched off and was not interested in listening to me. Anything and everything was more exciting than I was. So it was very much time to go back to basics and try and start with the fundamentals again in order to get his focus and drive back to understand that he's going to be rewarded for doing something that I want.
You say about being rewarded, was that predominantly the methods that you chose with training to reward him when he did good things, or did you ever try anything different?
Yeah, so it was very much positive reinforcement methods. So yeah, it was very food orientated and praise to get him motivated.
What is his favorite reward? So some dogs love food, some dogs love a little tummy tickle, play with a tennis ball. What is his go-to thing?
He absolutely loves just treats, anything. Loves chicken, beef bits. Yeah, absolutely. Just any food, he'll have it. Cheese, he loves cheese, baby bells.
Anything that he can put in his mouth and eat. So yeah, definitely a typical Labrador in that sense. What do you think life would be like right this very moment had you done very little or even no training with Freddie?
I think I would be very stressed, and I think Freddie probably would be too, and my house probably wouldn't be standing anymore. It very much was needed for him to be happy and me to be happy, and for us just to live happily together and understand each other.
I think that's a really important point, understanding each other, because we are always trying to figure out what our dog thinks, why they do things, what motivates them. But these poor dogs have been like thrown into this world that they know nothing about. They don't understand our language. They know nothing. So they've got so much working out to do about everything in their world. And they've only had the privilege of being in that world sometimes for a matter of weeks or months when we expect them to behave beautifully. So Freddie's had a lot to suss out as well with you and anyone else that looks after him in your house. Would you say that it's been more challenging than maybe you thought it might have been?
Yeah. Way more challenging. I didn't expect everything that's happened to happen. And at points I was like, why did I think this was a good idea? Getting a puppy when, I'm a single girl in her 20s. Like, what's going on? Why am I doing this? It's unfair for Freddie. It's unfair for me. Why did I think this would be a good idea? I now definitely feel like I wouldn't change it for the world. And I'm glad I stuck it out.
Yeah, it gets easier and it gets better. Talk to us about those challenges then. So you said you didn't realise it would be quite as difficult and you didn't expect everything that you got, essentially. So talk to us about the biggest challenges.
Yeah, so definitely adolescence. I feel one night the clock struck midnight and Freddie just was a teenager and wasn't a puppy anymore and didn't want to listen to me anymore. It kind of spiraled and got worse as the weeks went by. I think one of the very first things to go was sleep routine, which affected me as well, not sleeping. I think that was one of the first things to go that then kind of had a knock-on effect with everything.
And that adolescent phase that you've just described, kind of not listening, doing his own thing, sleep going out of the window, did that impact everyone? So did he behave in a different way to you and everyone else that cared for him, or did different people get different sides of Freddie?
Yeah, I'd say he was definitely different dependent on the person. So my brother moved in with me at the end of last summer, conveniently just before adolescence was hitting. So he got the side of Freddie that was the overexcitement, the lunging, the nipping, the growling, and he'd gone over his threshold and would just take it out on my brother. It went from play to like too much very quickly. Where I got the needy, whiny, barking, just disobeyed me, the pulling on the lead, that sort of behaviour, more so than what my brother was getting.
And when all this was happening, did you know about adolescence? So were you aware that this was going to happen, or did you think, actually, I've got a broken dog, we need to drastically change something because he's, badly trained, badly behaved?
Yeah, so that did cross my mind. All I'd heard about adolescence was the scent marking, the looking for the females, the overexcitement to an extent. I hadn't heard much about everything else that came with it. I just thought he'd maybe hump things and he'd maybe bark a bit more, and that was it.
So did you kind of feel that he was behaving badly intentionally, or did you feel that he was confused, frustrated, challenged by what was going on in his head? Could you kind of tell what was going on with him?
Not right away. I definitely thought that he hated me, and that he was just like done with me. He didn't want to listen, I'd like frustrated him, so he was getting more frustrated. It wasn't until working through it that I realized that he was just a teenager, a lot going on, very similar to what we go through as teenagers, all the feelings and not knowing what to do with them.
Yeah, and I think it's almost worse for dogs because they can't communicate that with people around them easily. You know, they have very little way to communicate what's happening in their body and how they feel. So how did you help Freddie get over these frustrations and challenges?
Yeah, so there was definitely a few things I did. So the first one was sleep. So because of the amount of nights and hours in the night that he was barking, as soon as I left him, as soon as I would leave the room and come upstairs, he would just be really upset. I ended up going back to what I tried when I first brought him home, where it was a case of sleeping near him so he could see me. Living in a small like terraced house, the option to bring him upstairs with me kind of didn't work out. So I stuck with it that he remained downstairs and that I just slept on an airbed for, I think it was like 3 months in the end. So my winter was spent on the floor in my dining room, just getting him used to sleeping downstairs again and calmly and quietly, and for at least 8 hours a night. And then slowly moving myself further away until he was happy and I could close the door, I could come back upstairs. And yeah, it worked. It just took longer than what it did when he was a puppy. But yeah, it worked.
But lots of sleepless nights for you by the sound of it. But I suspect longer term, we've got a happier dog and probably a better relationship as well. We've built that trust and that bond as well. During the day, was he sleeping enough and resting enough during the day? Did you implement any kind of routines to help him just switch off a little bit when he was going through this adolescent phase?
Yep. So time out and nap times were implemented. So we kind of had to be ahead of Freddie. So certain times of the day would tend to overstimulate him. So after a walk, after a bit of playtime, if someone came to the house, those sort of things. So I learned that I would put him in his playpen, and he learned then that was time to relax and calm down. And similarly, when after walks, it would be, right, it's time for nap time. And he got used to that routine then, that after certain points in his day, it's time to chill out.
What age did this adolescence hit? You mentioned earlier about almost like the stroke of midnight, it just kind of kicked in. What age was he when that happened?
I would say it was early as like 8 months, 9 months. He just seemed to happen to him really early.
I want to say at this point as well, we've done some online training together, so I've got a good idea about Freddie, and Freddie had it bad. He had it really bad. Adolescents can hit in many different ways for different dogs, and they'll experience it differently. And I remember some of our training sessions, and bless you, you did look like your dog hated you. You thought actually it was all going wrong and it was terrible. And it was pure just adolescence confusion and, you know, almost despair from Freddie, because he kind of didn't know what to do with all of these emotions. We know that you were doing everything right for him, but actually he just couldn't control what was happening to him. And he really, really struggled through his days, didn't he? Bless him. He was really having a hard time with it. So what discussions did you have with trainers, vets, research about adolescents, possibilities of castration? What did you look into?
So I think there did become a point where it was quite upsetting to see him so frustrated and confused. So I decided it was time to have that discussion. So I spoke with yourself to get a trainer's point of view, and I spoke to the vet. And the discussions were had about age, because I know a lot of my like reservations were about different opinions on when is best to do it. because of bone development and the testosterone and behavioral issues. So I definitely wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to make it worse or upset him even further by making the decision. But I decided after getting loads of advice that it was the best thing for Freddie and it had his interests, because he was just so frustrated and it wasn't nice to see.
And what age was he when you decided to go through with that castration procedure?
So it was a nice first birthday present for him. So we were advised that it'd have to be done after his first birthday. So I booked him in for a few weeks after his first birthday to have it done.
And I think there will be people listening to this that hear that a year old and say that's way too soon because you've got to wait for 2 years old for bone development and growth. It is important to say that you did a huge amount of research and had conversations with the people that knew Freddie best. So I don't have this conversation with him on a podcast thinking that you've done anything, untoward. You've done exactly the right stuff with having conversations with your trainer and your vet to make sure that we've got behavioural issues and medical issues all taken care of. Now, I also said earlier, Freddie had it bad and he was really struggling with, just everyday easy stuff to do, wasn't he? So talk us through from the point of castration to now. What has happened? Is Freddie better? Is he worse? Have we got different challenges?
I definitely noticed a difference pretty much straight away. After he'd recovered, he just seemed brighter. So he is just much calmer. He is happy to settle on his own. I don't have to implement as many nap times in the playpen. He will take himself off to have a nap. And the only thing is he has got a bigger appetite now. So he is just starving all the time. And he has put on some weight since he has had the snip. But I've been told that is expected. So it's just a case of more exercise and maybe a few less more treats. But he's definitely much happier. And even like walks are better. He's happy to loose lead and come back to my side. He looks up at me happily trotting along. He still is allowed his like sniff time and his explore time, but he knows that if I call him back to heal, it's time to come back to me. He waits now. He has learned that if he comes up to a road, he will stop and sit next to the side of me instead of like running across the road. And he is just much more calmer and happier. And he doesn't get so frustrated at night that he is humping for an hour before bed.
You've mentioned humping, so let's go there. Tell us about humping. So people will see their dog occasionally humping, humping another dog or maybe the bed or a blanket or something like that. It is different for every dog. Some do it, some don't. It's a very natural thing for them to do. What was the humping like with Freddie?
Intense is probably the best way to describe it. I didn't realize how much he would do it, and I think it was almost, I was worried that it was becoming a behavior that he was learning, and that he was gonna hump forever, but he found it as a way, I think, to relieve his frustration. So he was doing it regularly, almost I think to tire himself out, he would just at night he would just hump forever, and he'd have humping hour as we called it, and he just turned one evening, his IKEA Labrador Teddy that he'd had since puppy as like a little crate companion. He just took a fancy to her, I assume, and decided to start humping her one evening. And he would then keep going until she was shreds of fluff and cotton all over my living room floor. So I think he went through about 20 IKEA Labrador toys before I was like, this is getting an expensive hobby. So resulted to a charity shop teddy bears, so he could still do his thing, but it was a little bit nicer on my pocket.
Those poor teddy bears. With the benefit of hindsight, so you know Freddie better than anyone else, do you think it was the right decision to make? And specifically, do you feel for Freddie it was the right time to do it?
Yeah, I am pretty confident that it was the right time and the right decision. I think it was becoming apparent that he was frustrated and scared and just wasn't enjoying time with himself or me, and I just felt that I wanted to build on the relationship with him being happy.
And if there's anyone listening to this that, you know, has a male Labrador and they're kind of thinking, is now the right time, is it too early, should it be later on, what advice would you give them? You know, what, in your experience, what should they look for? Who should they chat to? What should they satisfy themselves of before they rush to any decision?
Yeah, so definitely have your dog at the forefront of your decision. Like you say, every dog is different. And I feel it's just learning their thresholds and their boundaries, very much like we have boundaries. I think if you notice that they are a bit of a loose cannon, maybe, and are going over that threshold regularly, and there's no way of calming them down, I feel that is, a good time to maybe look into castration, but also do your research and your advice, because I know, speaking to people, that every vet and trainer has different opinions as well, and it's definitely something that you shouldn't take lightly. But I'd say, it like everything, it has positives and negatives.
Yeah, and you're totally right about differing opinions. So everyone listening to this will have a different opinion about castration. I can tell you, if you put 100 trainers in a room, we're all going to have different opinions. And if you go to a vet's practice, every vet at that practice might have slightly different opinions. And the best advice I can give to anyone is, if you're thinking about making that decision, they don't need to be castrated. You know, there's plenty of intact males out there that live long, happy, healthy lives. But do it in conjunction with someone that knows your dog as far as training and behaviour goes. So your trainer or behaviourist and a vet. You know, have your vet really check over your dog and make sure it is physically a suitable option for them. And I think in your situation, I'm totally supportive of what you've done based on the assessment that I've done, you know, having spoken and seen Freddie. So I think it was a wise decision for Freddie's case. We've spoken about hindsight. So what, in hindsight, what might you have done differently about Labrador ownership in general? So think right back from 8 weeks to now. Is there anything that you would go back and do differently?
I think I wouldn't worry as much. I think if you can nail the basics, it puts you in good stead. I think, just making sure that you have a routine as well. I kind of learnt that the hard way, I think, in the beginning, that dogs definitely thrive on routine. And if you aren't giving the same every day, that's when the confusion kind of starts. I think that is something that if I was to do it again, it would be a more strict routine and not expect too much too soon. because they're looking for you for guidance, not the other way around.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us a little bit about crate training Freddie from a young age as well.
Yeah, so I'd pretty much say he hated the crate. He just didn't like it. And I think that has been the one thing that hasn't been consistent, and I've had to adapt each time, or when something's happened, I've tried new things. So yeah, he was crate trained when he first came home. There was a lot of nights where he wasn't in the crate as such. He was kind of penned in, and I'd be like sleeping with him downstairs. There's been nights where he's been in the crate and I've been next to him, but he didn't like the door being shut on the crate. And I think that was something that I didn't necessarily want to let him like cry it out. And I wanted him to be happy and see the crate as a place that he can relax in. So in the end, I did attach a playpen to the crate. So the crate door's open, but the pen is attached to it. So he can't get anywhere, but he can go in and out, which he now loves because he's got this massive bed taken over my dining room.
Is the best way to do it, attaching that playpen to a crate, because suddenly your dog goes from feeling like they're penned in and they can't get out to suddenly they've got a massive bedroom and they can just come and go as they like. And I do that with my dogs. You know, when they're youngsters, they always have crate and pen attached. It just kind of makes them feel like they've got a little bit more freedom. And of course, it also saved your furniture because they still can't get out and chew the chair legs and stuff. I think you also had some interesting findings about pitch and tone of voice and that kind of stuff to really communicate well with Freddie as a youngster. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I noticed this more, I think, when my brother moved in. So I've got quite a high voice, and I can go squeaky when I'm firm and excited, I guess, where my brother has got a low voice. And when we were giving commands, he would tend to listen to my brother more because he'd got that stern voice, especially when we were like telling him no. He would very much not listen to me, but he would listen to my brother. So yeah, it was a case of tone of voice, definitely. I was like, why are you listening to me?
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, we don't shout, we don't scream, we don't lose control of our emotions when we communicate with our dogs, but finding that effective communication is really good. And I often say changing the pitch and tone of your voice is all you need to do. You know, does your dog really understand? Are you really happy? Are you excited? Or are you a bit cheesed off that they've just done something they shouldn't have done? And tone of voice is absolutely essential for that. Let's look at your experiences and how they can translate to help other people that are listening to this. So what would you say is the biggest misunderstanding about having a Labrador in your life?
I would say you just have to be patient. I think that is the biggest thing. And every dog's different. So you kind of have to learn to understand them and not have like pre-existing ideas in your head, because it might not happen. And I just think that being patient and training and just providing them a happy home just pays off. It pays off in the end.
When do you think in Freddie's life you're going to sit on the sofa and go, we've done it, we've got through the tough bits? Do you kind of see that that's on the horizon?
I hope so. I think possibly it will be when he's 9 years old that I'll be like, yeah, nailed it.
9 years old, it'll soon be here. Someone that's maybe just got a new Labrador, so they're sat at home with a young puppy, what bit of advice are you going to give them?
So I would say don't overwhelm yourself with information and opinions. I would say you won't always know what is best, but you will learn along the way. And like I've said, if you can nail the basics and have fun with it, and you always have their best interests at heart, you'll have the best time.
That's totally right. And I think you've got to trust your instinct as well. So I speak to a lot of people and they say, oh, I've read this book or I've done this course. Doesn't always apply to your particular dog though, because every dog's different and every situation's different. And I think trusting your gut and knowing what is right for your dog in different situations is extremely important. When you were kind of going through this puppy and an adolescent phase with Freddie, did you find that the information you were able to glean from wherever it was useful, or did it almost send you around in a bit of a spin because there was too much conflicting information?
Yeah, it was very conflicting. And I think maybe it stemmed from the advice surrounding castration as well. As when you do a Google search, there's a lot of American results that come up, and I know that they tend to have a different idea around castration. So it was trying to find like UK advice. But also, yeah, it is just like a rabbit hole you go down and you're more confused than before.
Yeah. And the internet's brilliant for getting information, but also it's the worst place in the world because everyone has an opinion. And sometimes those opinions are not based upon, you know, the fact of what you're living with every day. And I think, you know, I've already said I fully support the decision you made. It was right for Freddie based on his scenario. If we've got any listeners that are sat at home and they're actually finding it a struggle, because I know it was a struggle for you and Freddie, what key bit of information or bit of advice would you give them just to help them see light at the end of the tunnel?
I would say don't do it alone. There is people out there that can help you. A trainer is a good avenue to explore just for guidance, but also you can go to your vet as well. They're there for advice as well if you need it. And even like friends and family, I've done it where my friends and family have got involved to help me and help with training, because it is a good thing to have different people getting Freddie to do things as well.
And also there's, you know, take respite from each other as well, because you and your dogs will butt up against each other sometimes. So getting people just to step in and give you a break from each other for a couple of hours is good. Just before we kind of go on to the next bit, tell us a little bit about breaks that you had from Freddie. So I know he was going to daycare, wasn't he? So talk us through, tell everyone a little bit about your decision to send him to daycare and how that's now progressed on to something a little bit different.
Yeah, so as work was getting more busy and office was opening back up, I am now needed back in the office 2 days a week. So I was looking at ways that I can keep Freddie happy when I'm not at home with him all the time. So yeah, I was very lucky to find a daycare centre nearby that had availability. So he did start going to daycare and making his little friends and having fun while I was at work. And yeah, it was working, I think. And then he would then get, I think, a little bit restless and tired on an afternoon. I think 8 hours was probably a long stint for him to be away from home for the day, and I think he found it quite intense on an afternoon. So the feedback was that maybe daycare wasn't the best solution for him at this point, and yeah, just thinking what was best for Freddie again. So now we're going to have a go at a dog walker. So that will allow him to have his fun and his walk in the afternoon, but he'll be at home each side of it, as he is very much a happy home bird now. He likes his naps.
You see, age is really starting to come onto your side, isn't it? I guess you thought sending him to daycare would be great, I'd have loads of fun, but Sounds like he's really mellowing into slightly older age and just enjoying a bit of time on the sofa instead. The daycare option that you went for, did you find it had any impacts on his general behaviour? So some dogs love it and they just play all day and they love other dogs. Some of the dogs actually get a bit fed up of being around other dogs all the time. Did you notice any impact either way?
Yeah, probably. I'd say that it was fed back that he was getting a bit frustrated and a bit bored of having all these dogs running around. I think there was 30 other dogs there at one day. And he would drift towards finding out the humans and wanting to play with the humans instead, and was wanting more time away and more naps, which they had a structured day. So yeah, sleeping all day wasn't part of the structure.
I think that's really important though, to listen to what your dog is telling you. And actually in Freddie's case, it was like, right, I've done my playtime, it's time for nap. So just because daycare might be more convenient for us as humans, if it's not right for your dog, then there's other options out there. There's some absolutely fantastic dog walkers that can step in to do the necessary. People that have listened to this are probably now going to want to go and check Freddie out and just kind of put a face to this description that we've had for the last hour or so. So where can people go and find Freddie? I understand he's got his own Instagram account.
He does. So he does have a little Instagram account. So that is foxredfreddy_. So yeah, that's where you can find us on Instagram.
Please, everyone, show your support to Becky and Freddie over on that Instagram account. Becky really has taken some very challenging decisions to help Freddie live the best life. I'd also like to ask a small favour, if I may. If you are enjoying these podcasts, please let me know so that we can keep providing you content that you want to listen to. So whatever platform you're listening on, I'd appreciate it if you could leave us a tiny little review so that other people can find the show and benefit from other owners' experiences. Thanks for joining us. Find out more by checking out talesofsuccess.com or search at Tales Success on your social channels.